91X News.
It's minus 3 and cloudy at 4 o'clock. From the QNET Newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Bevan Hamilton. About 6,000 Hydro One customers were affected by a power outage in the northeast end of Prince Edward County through Deseronto, Tyendinaga, and Napanee this afternoon. Hydro One says equipment failure is to blame for the outage. Repair crews were dispatched to try and fix the problem and have partially restored power, but many are still without. Hydro One estimates power to be restored at 6:15 this evening. Usage for social services in Belleville is up when compared to this time last year, and Community Development Council of Quinte Executive Director Ruth Ingersoll says the CDC is no different. She says Belleville is losing well-paying manufacturing jobs, housing costs are too high, and the system needs to start accommodating people facing these realities.
People wonder, why are people on social assistance so long? It's because the system has put them in a chronic permanent poverty. They try to find work and then money is taken off dollar for what they make. There's no incentive to work. Why can't they keep the money, at least until they get to the poverty line or a little bit above the poverty line? Let them keep that money so that they're not struggling and oppressed and depressed.
Ingersoll says her organization's goal is to help people become self-sufficient by offering them food and everyday items at discount prices. The New Democrats say a government document shows the Liberals plan to cut funding for education by $500 million over 3 years, a move they warn will lead to school closings. NDP education critic Peter Tibbons obtained a copy of the government's education funding guide, which calls for permanent savings of up to $500 million by 2017-18, when the province has promised to eliminate its $12.5 billion deficit. Education Minister Liz Sandals doesn't dispute the document's authenticity and insists that per-pupil funding will continue to increase. However, Sandals admits there will be cuts to the education budget, in part because of declining enrollment. She says there are over 600 schools in Ontario that are more than half empty, and some will close to help meet the Liberals' balance the books on schedule. The NDP say that flies in the face of Premier Kathleen Wynne's pledge in the legislature just 4 months ago not to cut education funding. Ford is recalling about 65,000 Fusion mid-size cars from the 2014 and 2015 model years in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Correspondent Tim McGuire says owners should be receiving notices soon.
The company says the owners can take the car to their dealership so technicians can reprogram the instrument cluster computer program and eliminate the chance that the keys can be taken out of the ignition when the car is not in park.
The automaker says a faulty instrument cluster has been allowing ignition keys to be removed 30 minutes after the ignition switch is turned off if the cars are left in gear. The Ontario government has yet to get its chance to argue in favor of its wind farm approval process. A lawyer for four families is in front of Divisional Court in London for a second day. He wants the court to order new approval hearings for three wind energy projects. He also wants the court to change the law to allow residents to argue turbines could cause them harm. The three projects at issue, including one with 140 wind turbines near Goderich, are all currently approved and off the ground. The government maintains the law governing the review process is constitutional. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a small militant group, says the cousins behind an attack on a Jerusalem synagogue were among its members, but it isn't saying whether it had instructed the pair to carry out the attack. Three Americans and a British man, all with dual Israeli citizenship, were killed when the cousins, armed with a gun and meat cleavers, burst into the synagogue during morning prayers. Six people were wounded, including one Canadian. Thousands of people attended a joint funeral for three of the victims before sundown, held outside the synagogue where the attack occurred. An anti-government protest in Haiti's capital has become violent, as three people have apparently been shot in a volatile neighborhood. Tuesday's march began peacefully when a crowd grew to a few thousand people in slums that are opposition strongholds. But as demonstrators walked, the critics of President Michel Martelly's administration and pro-government residents began throwing rocks at each other. During the outburst, an Associated Press reporter witnessed three people apparently getting hit by bullets. One was shot in the neck and appeared gravely wounded. Haitian National Police responded by firing tear gas, and most demonstrators dispersed. Authorities made no immediate comment about the shootings. Even after the violence, nearly 1,000 protesters continued their Tuesday march, demanding Martelly's resignation, among other things. Supporters of the Keystone XL pipeline will find out later today if they have enough votes in the U.S. Senate to move ahead with the bill approving the project, which would take tar sands from Alberta to oil refineries on the Gulf Coast. If not, Republican leaders say they'll try again next year, when Republicans will control the Senate as well as the House of Representatives. This evening's vote will put pressure on President Obama to approve the pipeline, something he's resisted in the past. Joey Baldender has more.
Supporters of the pipeline project know that getting the 60 votes needed to win Senate approval will go down to the wire.
We'll find out this evening.
If it doesn't pass, top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell says it will next year when the GOP has the majority.
We're sending it down to the president.
And if the Senate approves Keystone, House Speaker John Boehner said a presidential veto would show the president doesn't care about a project Americans support.
It would be equivalent of calling the American people stupid.
The White House has made clear it doesn't like the project, but has not issued a veto threat. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
That's QNET News on 91X to 406. Sports is next.
Job search tip.
Looking for a job that suits your skill set? You need a plan. At Loyalist Community Employment Services, we will help you assess your existing skills to see how they fit in the local labor market and see where you can find the most success. Visit Loyalist Community Employment Services, Dundas Street East beside Pinnacle.
This Employment Ontario program is funded in part by the Government of Canada.
Find a job to match your skills. Start here. Loyalist Community Employment Services.
That's your job search tip.
In sports today, Canadian tennis player Eugenie Bouchard was named the World Tennis Association's Most Improved Player of the Year on Tuesday. Bouchard reached the semifinals at three of the four Grand Slams this year and made it to the final at Wimbledon last summer. She became the first Canadian singles player to reach the Grand Slam final in the modern era. 20-year-old Bouchard rose as high as number five in the world rankings this season and also qualified for the season-ending WTA finals. Bouchard said she's proud of her accomplishments but has already set new goals she wants to reach next year. Bouchard from Westmount, Quebec, earned over $3 million in prize money this season and had a 45-23 singles record. The world number 7 defeated Karolina Pliskova in Germany last May for her first career WTA title. Speaking of awards, pioneering black golfer Charlie Sifford will receive the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, on November 24th during a ceremony at the White House. Sifford is known for breaking the PGA's color line when it reluctantly dropped its Caucasian-only membership rule in 1961 and issued him full playing privileges on the PGA Tour. Sifford has been credited with opening the doors to other minority golfers. Sifford was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2004, and in 2006 received an honorary doctorate degree from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. NFL star Adrian Peterson has been suspended for the rest of the season and maybe beyond after an incident of child abuse. Aaron Katursky reports.
The NFL suspended Adrian Peterson without pay for at least the rest of this season after he was charged in Texas with abusing his four-year-old son. The punishment came under immediate criticism from the NFL Players Association chief DeMaurice Smith.
Players shouldn't be punished for the league's inability to establish a fair process.
The NFL modified its personal conduct policy over the summer. Commissioner Roger Goodell said Peterson has showed no meaningful remorse and does not fully appreciate the seriousness of the alleged abuse. Peterson plans to appeal his punishment. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The Toronto Raptors are back in action tomorrow night. The Raptors are in Memphis to take on the Grizzlies, who have only lost once in 11 games this season. The Raptors have won 8 of their first 10 games and lead the Eastern Conference. The Miami Marlins made history yesterday with the signing of superstar outfielder Giancarlo Stanton. The Marlins inked Stanton to the most expensive deal ever in professional sports history. Stanton's deal is for $325 million over 13 seasons. 25-year-old Stanton is a two-time All-Star and finished second in the National League in MVP voting this season, despite missing almost 20 games with injury. Stanton has hit at least 22 home runs in all five of his seasons. And in hockey news, four Canadian teams take the ice tonight. The Maple Leafs try to end a two-game losing streak as they host the Nashville Predators. In a showdown of two top teams, Montreal hosts Pittsburgh. Winnipeg is also in action, hosting the Devils, and Calgary takes on Anaheim. Send us your team or league scores. Email qnetnews@gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville, At 4:09, it's minus 3. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a chance of snow and a high of minus 6. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud expected with snow beginning in the early evening. 2 centimeters expected, a high of minus 1. Expect blowing snow on Thursday with a high of minus 1. QNET News on the air on 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Bevan Hamilton for QNET News. News on 91X next at 5 o'clock.